Good morning, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, what happens when a documentary filmmaker goes on a quest to deliberately be cursed by practitioners of black magic and the occult in some of the darkest corners of the world? Also this morning, happening around town, hope you're hungry. This weekend's Hancock County Food Truck Festival will not only be delicious, proceeds will also support the local Cops and Kids program. We'll get details. And we've got another collection of easy-to-make and delicious recipes for your kitchen from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, March 28th, 2025. There's going to be a partial solar eclipse this weekend. I know it's not as exciting as the full eclipse last year, but there is a partial solar eclipse visible in parts of the U.S. this weekend. NASA says the eclipse will be visible early Saturday from the Washington, D.C. area all the way up to eastern Canada. The further north you go, the better the view will be. Maine will get the best view stateside. It'll begin before sunrise on the East Coast, which I guess that's where it'll be, in the East Coast, and it will end around 7 a.m. So unlike the full lunar eclipse a couple of weeks ago, you don't have to get up in the middle of the night. Solar eclipse, so you wouldn't have to get up in the middle of the night, but you get the idea. It's not something that... So it's early in the morning. A solar eclipse that begins before sunrise is a bit, it kind of defeats the point, but anyway, ends around 7 a.m. Viewers obviously warned to wear protective glasses when viewing the eclipse. You remember, if you still have your eclipse glasses laying around and you want to make a road trip. The next partial eclipse in North America will occur in August of next year, August of 2026. So, again, not as exciting as the full solar eclipse that we had about a year ago. But again, if you've still got your solar eclipse glasses laying around, you're wondering, when in the world will I use these again? Well, there you go, this weekend. Just hit the road and check that out. What else is going on? I've got to think that any solar eclipse that falls short of a full solar eclipse would be really anticlimactic at this point. I mean, there might have been a time when I would have said, oh, pretty cool, a partial solar eclipse. It's going to be like 70-80% in Maine. But now that I've seen a full solar eclipse, just a partial one won't do. But anyway, speaking of the sun and traveling and all of that, this is something that never gets old. All Clear Travel Insurance has commissioned a study into the most beautiful sunsets, the travel destinations with the most beautiful sunsets. What they did is they dug into the data, analyzed weather conditions, typical weather conditions. They looked at social media posts for their rankings and reviews, and of all of the locations globally, worldwide, for the most beautiful sunset, it can be found in Cappadocia, Turkey. Okay, Cappadocia. How do you pronounce that? I've never been to Turkey, so I don't know. Cappadocia. Anyway, it's a place in Turkey that apparently is famous for its hot air balloon rides. And wouldn't that be cool? Watch a beautiful sunset. You're in the up in the air in the hot air balloon. Although I don't know, can they launch that late into the evening? Anyway, it is the top spot in the world for the most beautiful sunset in the United States. Waikiki Beach in Hawaii. That was number one in the United States, second overall worldwide, and in the continental United States, the Grand Canyon National Park, which I've been to the Grand Canyon. I don't remember seeing a sunset there. I was very young. My parents took us kids when we were really young, haven't been back in years, and I don't necessarily recall a sunset, seeing a sunset at the Grand Canyon, but I can imagine that would be absolutely gorgeous. So that is third worldwide and number one in the continental U.S. As a matter of fact, the United States holds 6 out of the top 25 best sunset spots. The international locations that appear in the top 25 more than once include locations in Greece and Italy. So those are the places to go if you want to see beautiful sunsets. It's kind of interesting. Some other items here among the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to start the day. So you heard the big news story, one of the big news stories of the past week. The president made it formal, and there was talk of this earlier in the week, but yesterday, I guess he announced that he will indeed impose 25% tariffs on automobiles imported into the United States from other countries. And if you were hoping to buy a Ferrari, I hate to tell you, that's going to increase the cost of the luxury Italian automobile. The company announced that they will be raising prices due to the new tariffs. The price of the Purosangue SUV, that's their SUV, and I guess as a Ferrari goes, it's a fairly reasonably priced Ferrari, but it will increase about $43,000. It'll just the price increase, you can buy a whole nother car. $43,000 to the price of the Ferrari SUV, and the limited edition Ferrari F80. Well, that will jump more than $350,000. That's not how much it'll cost. That's just the price increase of the Ferrari. $350,000. The good news, though, if you are looking to buy a new Ferrari, any cars imported before Tuesday of next week, before April 2nd, will be, or I guess Wednesday is April 2nd, right? So any cars before Wednesday that are imported before the April 2nd launch date of those tariffs will be exempt from those price increases. So bargain hunters, get a $350,000 discount on a Ferrari if it's imported before April 2nd. So, you know, that order that you have placed for your new Ferrari, better hope it gets here before next Wednesday. let's see. A couple of other items here. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Weather's getting warmer. It's going to be gorgeous this weekend. Nice, warm conditions. And so your attention is turning to spring and summer right around the corner. Dairy Queen is celebrating their 85th year, I guess. 85th year, is that right? Says Dairy Queen is celebrating 85 years of ice cream and frozen treats. And to mark the milestone, they are releasing a new menu of treats. The annual Summer Blizzard Treat Menu will be available beginning Monday. It will include the Confetti Cake Blizzard Treat, will make its return because no birthday celebration is complete without cake. It's their 85th anniversary, so there you go. So that is back, the Confetti Cake Blizzard. The newest fan vote winner, S'mores Blizzards, will be on the menu. S'mores Blizzards. Two other new Blizzard treats hitting DQ this season, the Mixing Bowl Mashup, a mix of brownie batter and chocolate chip cookie dough. Next is the new Dipped Strawberry Cheesecake Blizzard, combining creamy cheesecake pieces, chocolate chunks, strawberry topping, and of course, soft serve ice cream all whipped together. The Cotton Candy Blizzard will also return to menus this summer, combining cotton candy topping and crunchy cotton candy sprinkles blended into the soft serve blizzard treat. So all beginning Monday, if you just can't wait for summer to arrive. And speaking of restaurants, this may be, I don't know, for some people, the best news of the day. If you have seen this online, apparently the rumors were flying on social media that Chipotle was going bankrupt and closing all their restaurants. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently this rumor was spreading like wildfire online, and the company is shutting that down, saying the claim is false. Apparently, it stems from an inaccurate online article confusing Chipotle with a venture that the company tested a couple of years ago. It was not successful, and they shut that down. I don't know what that venture was, but it was unsuccessful. They shut that down, but that does not mean that the company is going away. In fact, quite the opposite is true. The company says they plan to open 345 new restaurants this year. So, there is some good news for you this morning. I want to make sure that we clear that up, because you've been paying attention to those rumors. You've seen that rumors online, and you are all depressed, thinking Chipotle was going away. I want to reassure you that is not the case. So, you're welcome. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Showers today with a high around 70, partly cloudy and windy tonight, a low around 60. The Fostoria Police Department says officers responded to the 200 block of Elmwood Avenue on the report of shots fired. Responding officers verified that more than a dozen rounds had been fired in the area, but found no one to be injured as a result of the shooting. Officers did, however, find several bullet holes in the side of a house in the area. Through further investigation, officers were able to identify the two individuals responsible for the shootings, two 18-year-olds. Police said the two are believed to have been arguing over a stolen bike, which escalated to the two shooting at each other. Get more in this story on our website. New legislation at the Ohio State House aims to bolster energy production in Ohio.
The Ohio House and Senate have both passed bills aimed at ending coal fees and attracting new energy producers to Ohio. Now the two legislative bodies must combine the legislation before it heads to the governor to become law. The Cincinnati Inquirer reports that the goal is to eliminate fees for two coal plants and add fees for solar generation. It would also reduce taxes on property owned by new energy generators and set stricter parameters for fees added to electric bills. The elimination of electric bill fees could save Ohioans more than $500 million.
ONN's Jay Plyburn reporting. Some drivers will have to take a detour for about a month and a half due to upcoming safety improvement work on a state route. The Ohio Department of Transportation says State Route 37 between County Road 180 and State Route 15 will close on Monday for approximately 45 days to widen the roadway, add edge and centerline rumble strips, and to replace the guardrails. Get more on this and other road construction projects in the area in this story on our website. The first annual Hancock County Food Truck Festival is on Saturday. It'll be held in the parking lot of Gabe's on Tiffin Avenue and serve as a kickoff to the food truck season. Participating food trucks will be donating proceeds to the Fort Finley FOP's Cops and Kids program. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, I hope you're hungry. The Hancock County Food Truck Festival is happening this weekend. It is the brainchild of Bobby Singham and Gabriel Robinson, who run the Lego by Egg Roll food truck. Guys, thanks very much for taking the time today. Talk a little bit about where this idea came from and the process of getting everyone together for this, because it's a bunch of food trucks that are participating here.
Yeah, we have 14 food trucks that are participating in this event, and it's we picked the program, the Cops and Kids program, because of the event we did last year with them for the Halloween parade, mm-hmm. which it's a good program. And if people don't know what the Cops and Kids program is about, it's an interaction between the law enforcement and children, and it helps them with with stopping and, you know, school supplies and positive things. Yeah. And our actual season starts in April, mm-hmm. so we wanted to do something for the community and bring everyone together and try to reach out to all mm-hmm. the food trucks and local food trucks and the surrounding food truck areas to to get up and gather for this event.
So what was the reaction, you know, when you make those calls and talk to those other food truck operators? Were they as excited for this as you were?
Oh, yeah, they're all excited. They're like, this is a great idea. We should do something like this. And it brings the food truck community together as well, because we don't all go to events with each other, because everyone, once April hits, everyone's usually scattered out of town or doing events somewhere else. So right. This is good that we get everyone in one gathering and just, you know, doing something great for the community.
You know, it seems like food trucks were an idea that took a little time to get going locally. I would hear about food trucks being all the rage in you know, like big cities and other places. But locally, it took a little while. Once they started to pop up, though, they got really, really popular. And now you see all kinds of them everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's a lot. There's actually... we was going through the mayor's list to see how many food trucks were locally. There's quite a bit. So, I mean, not everyone, like I said, you know, everyone's always out of town. I mean, you may see a few of them in town, but we have some that are coming that are from all around the area.
What is it that you think makes the food truck experience so popular for so many people, as opposed to like going to a traditional restaurant? What is it?
I think it's probably like the passion that they built this from the ground up. So probably, you know, just putting their own kick and twist on things. Sometimes you see different things that you don't see at a restaurant that people are like, hey, let me go try this.
Yeah.
You know, I think the passion behind it alone, you know, is something that people definitely look to see.
And in putting this event together, and reaching out to all of these other vendors, did you get to know people that you haven't worked with before, or that you weren't familiar with yourselves?
Well, actually, this is going to be our chance to all group up and meet with each other. I know yep. some of the food trucks, some of them I do not know. But yeah, we're all in this together, and
yeah.
we're trying to build something and try to get this going annually.
Yeah, and some we have got to work with and some we haven't. So we're kind of excited to like meet the new, you know, the new people that we haven't got to meet yet. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of building towards, because this does seem yeah. like it's a really close community amongst the food truck vendors themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll be good. Like you said, you know, it's starting to pick up a lot of food trucks around the area. It's starting to be bigger, you know, like, versus like the metropolitan cities where they are huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to get it to where we could possibly have Finley involved and maybe do something for us downtown or something, and just have a bunch of food trucks out there one day out the summer.
Yeah.
And it'll just be great. Yeah,
absolutely. Like I said, I know the folks who will, you know, seek out the food trucks when they are out and about, and some of the businesses that will host them from time to time throughout the spring and summer months as well. So the festival to kick off the food truck season is tomorrow. Give us all of the details on this.
We're going to be also offering raffle tickets that you can enter to win.
Okay.
A free chance for a catering event. They're going to be $20. And you will have two booths up there. One you can go up to enter for that. And yeah, any event that you'd like. I mean,
you can pick any truck. It's all a lot of the ones.
You'll take your own truck.
10 participating trucks that are involved in the raffle.
Yep.
So it's just a $20 ticket, and we're gonna do a live drawing, and then whoever wins gets a chance to win a catering event. So it'll be good for birthday parties, graduations, or maybe even a company.
Very cool. And and then a portion of the proceeds, as you mentioned, will be donated from all of the participating vendors to the Cops and Kids program through the Fort Finley FOP Lodge 20 Foundation. So it is tomorrow, and 11 to 7, is that right?
And then we also have two bouncy houses out there for the kids. So and it's a free event, so just bring them all in.
Absolutely. And bring.
We're looking forward to seeing everybody.
Bring your appetite, because there'll be lots of great food. 11 to 7 at the Gabe's parking lot on Tiffin Avenue, so you can't miss it. And once again, Bobby Singham and Gabriel Robinson, who run the Lego My Egg Roll food truck, with us this morning. Guys, thanks very much for taking the time. Hoping for a great event.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So this is a really interesting topic, but it also may be rather uncomfortable for some people depending on your religious convictions, so apologies if that's the case, but bear with me here. In a new documentary which hits Amazon Prime and Apple TV Plus this week, British-born filmmaker Liam Leagueu ventures into the mysterious and dangerous world of witchcraft and the occult, traveling the globe, seeking out some of the world's most powerful practitioners of dark magic, asking them to place a curse on him. That's the premise. The good news, of course, is that he is still here to tell us about it. Liam Leagueu, thanks very much for taking the time. First of all, we appreciate it. What inspired you to do such a thing, and how many people tried to talk you out of it?
Yeah, right. It's not every day you go looking for a curse. And yeah. So the original idea for this film was I was speaking to a friend, and he was saying he doesn't believe in anything along witchcraft or magic or any of that. And I said to him, well, would you let someone put a curse on you? And instantly he went, no way. So that's really interesting, right? Why is it that people, even if they don't feel they're a believer in anything spiritual, they still don't want to be anywhere near a curse? So that got me thinking, well, this is a really interesting subject. Why do we feel like that? And I felt like I was something of a skeptic. So I felt like it probably wouldn't affect me. So let's find out. And, you know, those famous last words, what's the worst that could happen? and to your point, it was very difficult to find anyone to put a curse on me. I mean, first of all, I think they all thought that I must be some sort of crazy person.
Yeah, well, and that was what I was going to ask next. How did the people who you encounter, the witches, the voodoo practitioners, all of that, how did they react when you go up and say, I want you to place a curse on me? And by the way, when we say curse, what kind of curses are we talking about? Does that always necessarily mean a curse of death?
Yeah, so I mean, there's different types of curses and different types of things. When I went out to meet people, we approached a witch's coven in California, and then we go looking into voodoo and hoodoo in New Orleans. We go to find tantric practitioners in India, and then even a dark magic practitioner in Mexico. And across the board, they all instantly thought I was crazy. They said never in their lives has anyone ever asked for this. So that was a first. And it was very difficult to convince them to want to do anything, because across the board, all of these practices were actually about helping people and were about doing good and about their communities. And so there's this kind of idea that all witchcraft and magic is all negative, and it's these evil witches working up spells in dark places. And that's really not what it's about. But they do have an element of negative magic in their practice. And the reason for that is actually for self-protection. And it's a history of being able to defend themselves. So that's why it exists. And then finding those that wanted to actually help me try and experience something, that was difficult. But I did find two people to put a curse on me. The first was a curse in New Orleans from a hoodoo practitioner. And what it was, wrap his magical workings around a used coffin nail and a snip of my hair and all these other wonderful and time scary sounding things, and bound it into a charm that I would wear around my neck. And I kept that with me on my travels, looking for more curses, if you can believe. and we ended up in a cave, swarming with thousands of bats, and that's all captured on camera. Wow. In a cave in Mexico, and where I enter into this a blood pact with an evil entity, and I think at that point I was beginning to wonder, have I gone too far, and what on earth have I done?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, you kind of go into this as a bit of a skeptic. Did you expect it to affect you in some ways psychologically and or physically, and did it at the end of the day affect you?
Yeah, so, I mean, as I said, going into it as a skeptic, I think the only way you would go looking for a curse is if you didn't believe it would work on you. Yeah. And I'm an open-minded skeptic, so I'm an open-minded to the idea of other things like this in the world. But I didn't really think it would affect me. I thought it was more about the power of the mind, and therefore I felt like it wouldn't affect me. I thought my head screwed on right, I'd probably be okay. But what I wasn't expecting was the fact that this gets deeper than just your rational mind. It goes to your subconscious. And so once it hits your subconscious, it starts really affecting you. And it began in my dreams. I started having terrible, terrible nightmares. And then I started having headaches, these awful tension headaches. And my body, my body was feeling it. My body was carrying the weight. I was feeling tense, anxiety. My resting heart rate was going up naturally over the course of a few months. So living with two curses over a 6 to 9 month period was having very real effects on me. And so this is where you get this, this is where you get this really interesting crossover between the idea of psychology and magic and how they kind of intertwine a little bit. And it becomes a very complicated subject at that point.
I know that as part of the project, as part of the documentary, you also spoke with a number of scientists, the quote-unquote actual psychologists that we think of, and you know, normal psychologists, although a lot of this sounds like it's very psychological on a different level. I'm wondering, what did they think of this, and did they give you some kind of explanation for all of that, the effects that you were feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. So I spoke to a psychologist who has this idea of the power of the mind, you know, the power of the subconscious, and we just spoke about it. And they were very worried for me for the idea that I might be going out and doing this and what it can start to do to me. And they were warning me that this isn't going to be a safe thing for me to do. And so that was beginning to worry me. But also we spoke to scientists who are working in the field of parapsychology and psi phenomena, like psychic power. Mm-hmm. And is any of that real? And that was fascinating to me because we went to visit some labs where they measure people who believe they have healing abilities, and they test with machines to see how that healing ability might occur. What's the mechanism of transference? And they're actually seeing things in the lab that show that the human mind can affect digital machines and these sensors in the lab. Hmm. So if the mind can have effects on digital machines, in theory, that can have effects on other people. So now it got really interesting because now I started to wonder, is all of this curse just in my own mind, just in my subconscious? Or have some of these magic practitioners, do they actually have some ability to affect me?
Wow.
So now I'm really starting to wonder, what have I got myself into? This subject's bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
I've potentially got myself into some trouble.
As you mentioned, I think a lot of people are maybe secretly fascinated by this topic, maybe even people who don't want to admit it. What do you hope that audiences will take away from this documentary, from A Cursed Man?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it's a great adventure story. I mean, we travel around the world in caves and jungles looking for magic. And so I'm really excited that we've managed to capture authentic magical practice that I've never seen on camera before, certainly not in reality, in documentary film. And so it's really awesome that we've managed to capture that and we can show that to the audience. But I think what people can take away from it, it's, you know, I go looking for negatives, for curses. But the opposite must be true of that, right? So if you can put this on yourself and you can have this negative experience, well, then the opposite must be true also. And although we don't really look at the positives, I think it's there by association. So I think people can understand a bit more about the power of our own minds and the words we tell ourselves and the things we believe in can have a really big impact on our life, in our physiology and in our mental state. So, you know, we need to be careful what we say and what we listen to. And I think people can take that from this film.
The film is A Cursed Man. Documentarian Liam Legiu with us this morning. It is available now on Amazon Prime and Apple TV Plus. Liam, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Great to speak to you, Chris. Thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
At a Walmart store in Anchorage, Alaska, the Spam is now under lock and key. This story has gone viral online, and you've probably noticed in recent years a number of retailers are putting more and more everyday items behind locked doors in an effort to prevent shoplifting. And I was at a certain big box retailer just a couple of days ago, and I needed to get some bolts. I mean, just bolts. And I actually had to find someone to unlock the cabinet so I could get it. It was like $3. These things were $3. And they were locked up so that nobody would steal them. Well, you know, that's bad. And I thought that was bad. But then I saw this story where the Spam is now under lock and key at this Anchorage, Alaska Walmart location. Video has gone viral online showing an employee unlocking the door to give the customer a can of Spam. That's kind of taken to the extreme, isn't it? It is kind of interesting that the putting stuff behind locked doors in the cabinets and everything does in fact thwart shoplifters, but it also keeps legitimate customers away. A growing number of people are getting frustrated by this, and they just stop buying these things at these places. And the research shows that sales can go down as much as 25% at these stores that lock everything up. The commenters on the video, this Walmart in Alaska, seem to be put off by the guarded Spam, with one commenter saying locking down war rations isn't where we hit rock bottom. Locked out war rations. Yeah, that does seem to be a bit extreme. So. Are there really a lot of people stealing Spam from this Walmart in Anchorage, Alaska? I don't know. Let's see. What else is going on? You know how you try and reassure your toddlers when you tuck them in at night that there are no monsters under the bed? Well, what happens when there are, in fact, monsters under the bed? This was in Kansas, Barton County, Kansas, where a young lady who was babysitting for a family the other night, tucking the kids in the evening, you know, before mom and dad got back, it was bedtime. So she gets the kids in bed, and she said, I'll check under the bed, make sure that there are no monsters. And when she looked under the bed to prove there were no monsters under there, she found a monster. There was actually an intruder under the bed. There was a man under the bed. The Barton County Sheriff's Office report said when the victim attempted to show the child there was nothing under the bed, she came face to face with a male suspect who was hiding there. The suspect then, after a brief altercation, the suspect fled the scene. He did not get far. He has since been apprehended, identified as Martin Viebos Jr. He has been apprehended, and apparently, according to the story, he once lived at the residence where the babysitter reportedly found him, but he doesn't live there now, and it is unclear exactly why he returned. But fortunately, nobody hurt, but it's going to be really hard to get those kids tucked in at night from now on. You're going to definitely have to check and double check, make sure there are no monsters under the bed from now on. Wow, what an experience. Elsewhere, the broken news. A woman in Pennsylvania by the name of Heidi Markow recently purchased a drawing for $12 at a collector's auction. $12 for this drawing. She thought, oh, well, that's kind of nice, and it's going for a good price, so I'll go ahead and buy it. Probably a good decision, because it turns out the artwork could be an authentic Renoir. If the drawing is found to be an original by the French Impressionist, it could be worth thousands of dollars. Probably not millions, but still thousands of dollars on a $12 investment. Ms. Marco said, I didn't know what it was. I was just struck by it, and I decided I wanted it. The piece just stood out to me as something special. The Wildenstein Plattner Institute will now examine the piece to determine its authenticity. So. Why can't these things ever happen to me? You know, that's... I mean, I'm happy for this this woman, Ms. Markow, but why can't these things ever happen to me? It's, I don't know. Let's see. Easter coming up right around the corner, and a church in Indiana thought it might have another miracle on its hands. St. Anthony Catholic Church discovered a piece of communion wafer with some mysterious red markings on it. And they thought it might be a divine intervention, might be a sign. But instead of uncovering some special message from on high, they had it looked at, and a biochemical analysis found that the marks on the communion wafer were just a fungus. Just a fungus. Been out there too long. So no miracle there. For now, the church says we'll just have to stick with one Easter miracle, which is still a pretty good one. At least they're taking it in stride. Not quite as impressive as what they had hoped. And finally, in the broken news this morning, the story of a Baltimore woman who has been sentenced to 18 months behind bars for stealing more than $25,000 from her grandmother. From her grandmother. Karen McAllister has also been ordered to pay $30,000 in restitution. Apparently, Ms. McAllister added her name to her grandmother's bank accounts after Grandma, who is 95 years old, began to show signs of mental decline, and she promptly began to make cash withdrawals from Grandma's account to the tune of some $25,000 in all. She was caught after a relative received a letter from the bank regarding an account with a negative balance. I said, well, that doesn't seem right. As it turns out, no, it wasn't right. And now Ms. McAllister is paying the piper, quite literally. Grandma, by the way, passed away a couple of years ago in 2023, and she's been ordered to make restitution, but the restitution will go to her estate. And I'm guessing Ms. McAllister is probably not a beneficiary of the estate, you know? Probably not going to get any of the inheritance. There you go. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Did you know more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection? AM radio is the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping Americans safe in dangerous times. This is News Director Matt Demchek. AM 1330 WFIN is here to serve you, and we take seriously our commitment to our listeners. We would love to hear what you value most about AM radio. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Have you ever gone on vacation before going on vacation? A new survey of 2,000 employed Americans finds that, maybe the boss doesn't want to hear this, 59% of us mentally check out before we physically check out. 47% of those in the survey admit that they have trouble focusing at work right before their days off. Even if they haven't fully mentally checked out, it's still hard to focus for nearly half of workers. So you're not alone if this sounds familiar. 75% of workers say that they have experienced mental fog at work very recently. Very recently, and 31% say that they daydream about being on vacation daily. So not only do we mentally check out early, we're daydreaming about vacation, one in three of us, even when we don't have a vacation scheduled. The survey by Talker Research also uncovered some common signs that you may need time away. And this is really good to know. Of course, feeling burnt out is the number one reason. 62% said when you feel burnt out, that's when you need to get away, which is obvious. But then some of the other warning signs that you're due for some time off. Daydreaming about a trip, 45%. Say daydreaming about a trip is a sure sign. 44% say getting irritated with others at work. If people just get on your nerves more than they usually do. I know you probably work with somebody who gets on your nerves anyway, but even more than usual. That's a sign. 39% say you know you need a vacation when you are feeling fatigued, no matter how much sleep you got the night before. And 35% say that they know it's time to take some time off when they have that low energy feeling, even on the weekend. Of using that weekend to sort of recharge after a rough week at work, that is a sign that you need to step away for a bit. Planning for a vacation is not without its own stress, however. Respondents reported feeling worried most about money, about the budget for the trip. 54% of those in the survey say that's the biggest worry, the biggest stressor when you're planning a trip. 28% stress over the packing for the trip, and 17% say booking hotels is the part that causes the most stress about actually planning a vacation. That being said, however, over a third in the survey, 36%, say they can be trip ready within a day or less. Maybe stressful, ready to go within a day or less. And 16% say that they can be ready in just a few hours. That's all it would take to be ready to get away from it all for a few days. So does that sound kind of familiar? Once again, my wife Kyra has joined us in the studio with another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. Earlier, we were talking about the Hancock County Food Truck Festival, yes, which is happening this weekend. But for maybe those meals that you just want to cook yourself instead of relying on the food trucks. It's all about food today. Yeah, that's going to be a really good time.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Excited.
And hopefully the weather will cooperate and everything will come off without a hitch for a good cause. And fun. But
yes,
you can't have every meal at the food truck.
No.
So we have this, I don't know if it's a food truck meal, but I mean, it's kind of inspired by the food trucks and that kind of fare.
Yeah.
This is a keeper, this recipe here, because we had this the other day. Yes. It was really good.
It was.
It is really a good Philly cheesesteak casserole. Yes. So unlike the Philly cheesesteaks you might get at the food truck, this is a casserole form.
Yes. Okay. It's really good. So 1 pound ground beef, 1 green bell pepper chopped, 1/2 onion chopped, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of seasoning salt, 1 cup of mozzarella cheese grated, 3 eggs, 1/4 cup of heavy whipping cream, and 2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees in an oven safe large skillet. I use my iron skillet over medium heat. Brown the ground beef and onion. Add peppers, cook until the meat is completely brown and the vegetables are softened. Season with the salt and garlic and cook for another 10 minutes. Drain most of the grease, mix the heavy cream in and the Worcestershire sauce and the eggs in a bowl. Pour the mixture over the meat mixture in the skillet. Bake for 35 to 40 minutes until cooked through and enjoy.
Simple as that. And it is really, really good.
Yes,
really good.
It's really good.
Yeah, Philly cheesesteak casserole. To go with that, have a recipe for simple baked potato wedges.
Yes. Yeah, so one of those things, you know, when you go to the food trucks, you get the yummy baked. These are baked instead of deep fried.
Just a little healthier.
Yeah, just a little bit. So 4 medium russet potatoes, 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 2 teaspoons of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of onion powder, 1 teaspoon of paprika, teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of black pepper, 1 tablespoon of dried parsley, and a quarter cup of grated Parmesan cheese. So preheat your oven to 425 degrees, chop the potatoes into wedges, and transfer to a large bowl. To the bowl of the potatoes, add olive oil, garlic powder, onion powder, paprika, salt, and black pepper. Toss until well combined. Spread the potatoes on a baking sheet. Bake for about 20 minutes, then flip and continue to bake for another 25 to 30 minutes or until brown. And I use like a fork and kind of insert and make sure it kind of slides. Mm-hmm. You know, then you know they're done.
Yeah.
So, and then mix your parsley and your Parmesan cheese, sprinkle onto the wedges, and enjoy.
And I like mine that are, you know, like that, have that crispy outer, you know, nice and soft on the inside, but crispy on the outside.
Yes.
The baked potato wedges to go along with the Philly cheesesteak casserole. And then for dessert, this is a chocolate chip cookie pie. Okay.
Yes.
So what is the difference between like just a big chocolate chip cookie, like a monster, you know?
This has
big...
a crust.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So
pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much it. So you could definitely make this a like a cake type. You could make it, you know, put it in a springform pan. And make it a cake instead of a pie.
But in this case, it is a chocolate chip cookie pie. Okay.
Yep. So 1 end baked 9-inch graham cracker pie crust, or you can make your own. 1 cup granulated sugar, 1 cup brown sugar packed, 1 cup, 2 sticks of unsalted butter softened, 2 large eggs, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 a cup all-purpose flour, 1/2 a teaspoon of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 1/2 cups of semi-sweet chocolate chips, and 1 cup of chopped nuts. And that's optional.
Mm-hmm.
I would use like pecans because I like pecans. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Prepare a graham cracker crust by removing the packaging.
Sad that we have to tell people that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You remove the packaging from the...
Or if you make a homemade one, then all you have to do, you don't want to bake your crust. Just make your homemade...
Not pre-baked.
Not pre-bake because you're going to bake it with everything.
Right.
So in a large mixing bowl, beat the granulated sugar, brown sugar, and softened butter until creamy and smooth. Add each egg, beating well, and then mix in vanilla extract. In a separate bowl, whisk together the flour, baking powder, and salt. Gradually add the dry ingredients to the wet ingredients, mixing until well combined. Fold in your chocolate chips and your chopped nuts. If you're using them, spread the cookie dough evenly into the prepared pie crust. Bake for 55 to 60 minutes or until a toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean and the top is nice and golden brown. Let it cool on a wire rack for at least 20 minutes and serve with some ice cream enjoy.
Yeah, serve that with a big scoop of Dietz's.
Yes.
That'd be yummy, good
yummy,
stuff.
Yummy.
Yes. Absolutely. The Philly cheesesteak casserole, the baked potato wedges, and the chocolate chip cookie pie. Now you made me hungry for that. You're going to have to make that this weekend. So anyway.
We've got family coming, so those, maybe I will.
Maybe. those recipes are all posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, right?
Yes.
You can go to the page at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. At Kyra's Kitchen WFIN is where you find the Facebook page for all of the recipes each and every week and other fun stuff too. And you can share recipes that you may have recently made
and
want to share with everybody. That's a great place to do that. You may find them on Kyra's Kitchen here sometime in the near future.
Get some of those spring
And we're coming up on Easter. So if you have an Easter recipe to share, post that on the Facebook page. You can also message Kyra with those recipes or email them to us. goodmornings@wfin.com is the email address if you want to do it that way. But we encourage that. We're looking for Easter recipes. So you can send those in. And also, if you kind of change or, you know, tweak the recipes.
Oh, yes.
You know, share those, what you found with those as well. Again, at Kyra's Kitchen, WFIN on Facebook, or you can also get there via our website at goodmornings.net. It is there too. So, my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the program at our webpage. That, of course, goodmornings.net, our little corner of the World Wide Web. Coming up on Monday morning, why does the United States continue to fall behind other nations in the annual World Happiness Report, which was issued earlier this month? What's making us such an unhappy society? Plus, it's a big week for both Flag City Honor Flight and Habitat for Humanity. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.